Stuck in traffic and need to vent? Dial the fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Home runs, 86 RBIs, 230, what do we got here? Let's double check that part. 241, 790. Let me say that again. I want you to jump in. I got a question for you. 241, 790. And 86. Those are the numbers projecting out Pete Alonso's 2024 season. 241 average, 790 OPS, 34 home runs, 86 RBIs. So when you factor in everything, the 7-year, 157-ish, I think it was, million-dollar offer that was on the table, what he's meant to the Mets, how amazing he's been as a slugger since the moment he stepped foot in the baseball, the anticipation for this season, all things considered, the contract push. This is about 75% of the way to one of the most disappointing baseball seasons any player's had in a long time in this city.
As far as walk year goes, yeah.
But that's part of it. That's what I'm saying. That's part of it.
It's not thrilling. It's not what you want out of your slugger, your guy that's put up, usually puts up 40 plus home runs every year.
Yeah.
Usually drives in over 100 RBIs. I could give or take the batting average at this point in time. It is what it is. The OPS, maybe you like it a little bit higher.
Yeah.
He's struggling. There's no doubt about it. He is chasing. He does not look comfortable at the plate. He has not gotten into a groove. Look, the home run derby, which he owns, he couldn't even do that well. He couldn't find a groove.
Yeah. I hear you on the batting average, but I'm going to push back a little bit here only because of the way he started his career. If Pete was always basically a 240 kind of guy, then I'd say, all right, he's kind of what he is. Not that he was ever going to be, a 300 hitter. Hey, 271, 262, 260. He's morphed into a different profile hitter. And that's very disappointing. Think about this, and I know that it was, with all due respect to Pete, and again, he's had a really good career so far, and he's been a really good Met, but, some of the comparisons going back a year or so ago, a year and a half ago, Met fans called up me, and even back to me and Tiki, but certainly me and Sal, he's the Mets' Aaron Judge, and I understood the loose comparison, but imagine if I told you then, when we were getting some of those calls, that in a walk year, contract year, that he'd have 86 RBIs and hit 240. Imagine that.
Yeah, disappointed. No doubt about it.
Now I know he's. Listen, I'm not gonna say that. I don't believe that there's any window of hope that he can, smack 7 home runs in 12 games. He can, but it's almost the middle of August here. The pressure is only going to ratchet up from his own perspective because he sees the numbers. He knows what he's doing. He knows what he's not doing. And it's just been a disappointing season for Pete. I expected more. And I haven't even been all in on Pete, as many of you know, based on some of his other limitations, even though he's obviously good and great with certain things. But this is just now 2 years in a row. Last year he hit almost didn't even hit 220. Now it's 240.
Let me ask you a question, though, because I know your point about that, and I respect it, that it's disappointing. But if you compare to a guy that you loved and still love, Matt Olson, and he's having a miserable year, too.
Matt Olson's been terrible.
Right. Oof. But he's the guy that you could keep on comparing. We keep on comparing contracts to. And last year, he had 50-something home runs.
Yeah.
And he had an outburst, something he's never done before.
Mm-hmm.
But, if we're looking at Pete Alonso as being disappointing and he didn't get paid yet, well, what is Matt Olson? What are these other guys? Because where does he rank in first base? Where Matt Olson's supposed to be, according to some people, one of the best first basemen in the league. and he's fallen off too.
He has.
So where's Pete Alonso? So I look at that and go, hey, he's not that bad. He didn't get paid yet. He didn't start sucking yet.
I know what you're saying. You're saying it kind of tongue in cheek, but forget about Matt. Although I'll get back to Olsen. You don't want to explain it like. You don't want this. It's supposed to be about what he's doing amazing, not that he's not as bad compared to some other guys who are underwhelming.
For someone, but listen, the only thing I'll say is for someone who struggles and have, listen, again, it's a walk year, so that's really bad. I won't deny that. But to have a year where you say he might hit, what, 35 home runs, I think you said?
He's on pace for 36 and 86 RBIs. Okay.
That's some people would, some players. Would die for those numbers.
Yeah, but that's not the point. Now you lose me with that. You know why? Because I'm judging him against Pete, not against other players. Come on.
But his batting average went up compared to last year.
Well, but it also dropped precipitously from the year before. Like, I mean, come on, dude.
I'm
217 last year.
It was awful. And yeah. he still put up 40-plus home runs.
I understand that. But it's just... Listen, Matt Olson has been worse with certain regards. Actually, he's got a lower average. He's got fewer home runs. We're right around the same. He's been confounding as well. But Matt Olson ain't our problem. Matt Olson right now is Atlanta's problem.
I guess the whole thing is, if at the end of the day,
yeah.
If this is Pete Alonso at his worst, I'll take it. If this is Pete Alonso at his worst, 35, 36 home runs, 84 RBIs is a little bit low. I won't deny that. That means he's not driving in runs. Yeah. And that's what he's paid to do. That's all I care about. Put up, you know, bat 200 and drive in 120 RBIs. I'm cool with that.
Yeah, I get. Listen, I've always been a big Matt Olson fan. You know, he played in that cavernous dump out in Oakland, which took away a lot of hits, and he played with nobody, didn't have a ton of talent. I think he's better than Pete. I think he's a better fielder. I just think he's a better night-to-night, more impact type of a player. But Matt Olson undeniably has been down. I think that the Alonso stuff, it's funny, all the conjecture and all the energy that we spent on this, don't things just at the end of the day just kind of resolve themselves? You know, like, think about some of the parameters that were, we're going back to almost two years ago, when the Pete Alonso conversation really began with Ernest, right? It was, you know, 10 years, 9 years, like, you just had some crazy stuff thrown out there. Now, for me, and me and Sal are pretty much on the same page with this, it's like, all right, does he get a Bellinger type of deal, 2 years and an option? I mean, that's kind of where we're going. 888-808-1019, BT and Sal, so a little Alonso stuff, Yankees as well. Let me get Scott, who is down in Jackson, New Jersey, where I was all weekend. I made, four trips down there, basically in 4 days? Oh, my God. I love it, but I ain't going back for a while. Jeez. Scott, what's happening, man?
Oh, totally soupy around here, too, let me tell you.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, the thing you're missing with Pete Alonso is that his numbers are actually worse than what they're saying. How many of those home runs were hit when games are already decided? How is he doing in high leverage situations? He's not performing when we need him to perform. And then I can't tell you, I watch almost all the Met games. I can't tell you how many games I watch where he hits on a 3-run home when the game's already over. We're down 6-0 or up 6-0.
Yeah.
And his fielding has gone backwards.
You know, I think a lot of people, and Scott, you're not wrong. And listen, I mean, I watched the Mets too. Yeah, you're right. I think a lot of those attack-ons. Now, the thing about a home run, and A-Rod used to do this as well. At the end of the day, if you have the numbers, like the knock on A-Rod was, well, he's not clutch. He's just tacking on. 3-run bomb. Yanks are up 7-2. Now it's 10-2. All right, wow. A-Rod's going to hit 40-something home runs and 115 ribbies. Well, I mean, even more than that in most cases here and elsewhere. But did it really have impact on the bottom line? And yeah, you could cherry pick results and say, yeah, some did, some didn't. I never view a home run as meaningless, even though others obviously impact certain situations more, because you never know if that's the home run that's going to click him in. Like, all right, yeah, the Mets were losing 7-1. Pete hit an opposite field home run, something he's been working on in the cage, and he kept his front shoulder in, and he took it the other way, and he let it travel deeper. I'm just throwing baseball stuff out there. And that's what he's working on off the tee with his coaches. He's really been grinding. This is the first tangible in-game result. Who knows? Maybe this is what is going to click him in and have him just go nuts for a couple of weeks. So, to me, no home run's meaningless. Others have more value. But I will say this, even though I think it is sometimes grossly misrepresented with certain players, he ain't clutch. He's just not. He's not clutch. He's not. And all the numbers back it up. Pete Alonso is not a clutch player. I don't think he is. I've never thought he's incredible. I'm not saying he hasn't had clutch moments, please. But he's not a clutch player. By the way, you know what his average is this year? Hoff, do you know what his average is? This is pathetic. I got to check Olsen after just to see where he is with this one stat. You know what his batting average is with runners in scoring position? Which, by the way, equates to over 100 at-bats.
I think it's like a 198. Yeah,
it's exactly 198. Look at Hoff. Look at Hoff dot in his eyes. Who says he's not locked in doing all those shows? 198 with a 660 OPS. Oh, my God. Yikes. You know what his batting average is? I know batting average is largely antiquated, but I'm still going to go on it. Speaks to something. You know what his batting average is with scoring position, two outs? 200. I mean, he just has God, what an awful season Pete's had. Awful. Anything that you can quantify pertaining to clutch stuff ain't good. Ain't good. I mean, I want Vientos up there before I want Pete. I want Lindor up there before I want Pete. I want J.D. Martinez up there before I want Pete. I want Alvarez up there before I want Pete. I want everybody almost up there before. Even Nimmo, who's hitting what? Nimmo's 188 in July. Hit 188 in July. I want Nimmo up there before I want Pete. I think I want Bader up there before I want Pete. Maybe Iglesias, too. OMG. How's that working out? Let me get Chris right here in Manhattan. Chris, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, BT. BT, great conversation. And listen, you're right, those numbers don't lie. By the way, Nimmo's numbers, even though he's been slumping with one of the scoring position, all year have been good. I agree with you. That's a huge stat. Here's something people don't talk about as much with Pete. And you're right about those numbers. Look, his bat looks slower. And have you noticed we're not seeing any of those Titanic bomb home runs? I know that's not doesn't matter. A home run's a home run. But he's not hitting those shots the way Pete does with authority. And BT, the most telling stat to me is, you know what numbers way up with Pete?
What?
Doubles. Why are doubles so high and home runs are so low? What does that say?
The first thing that I would say is that he's probably, I don't know why he would have changed his approach incredibly in the offseason, but maybe there was more emphasis on, you know, getting away from the 240 average, or pardon me, 217 average, and staying on the ball longer and sacrificing some height and trying to hit some more line drives.
Well, you would think so, but it's not working. And the difference between a double and a home run is doubles don't go out of the park. And listen, you know, Pete's a slugger. A slugger's got to be a slugger. So, like, if you're not driving the ball out of the park with authority, if something is off. I think his bat is slowing. There's something different, tangible.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to stay in my lane with that there, Chris. The last time I started talking about bat speed, Lindor shoved it down my throat. Who was saying that about Lindor? Yeah, it's just, he's hitting 231 in July. He's hitting 200 in August. You know. Hoff, you think the Mets make the wild card? You think they make the wild card? Do you think the Mets get that third wild card?
I think they're going to do better than the third wild card.
You do?
Still.
So you think they're going to be a playoff team?
Listen, they're all in the mix right now. I know that you said that like San Diego's been a little bit more on fire recently, but they're all in the Braves are sinking a little bit. The Braves are not the same. I mean, they could continue to sink and fall out of it too. I know that we shouldn't be scoreboard watching, but why not? Like the Phillies have been a mess.
Oh, I've been watching the score with the Orioles. I always watch the scoreboard.
Well, the Mets are a little further away.
But I always compute that stuff when I'm looking at scores. Like, oh, well, back in the day, oh, what the Red, even in May, what the Red Sox do? You know, what would the Cardinals back in the day with the Mets? What the Cardinals do? Yeah.
It's not just that the Mets need to win their games. They can't lose to the Angels. But I'm very convinced that this team is still special and they still have what it takes to keep on winning series. So I'm not really nervous.
Specials are strong. I appreciate the resolute, and I know that you mean that. I believe that. And I can see why Met fans think you will make. I don't, but I can see why Met fans are still resolute. Special's a little strong.
Special?
Yeah.
It's a little strong. No, but the reason why is because everything that has happened so far this season, the fact that they started 0-5, they were down 11 games under 500, the Jorge Lopez situation, the team meeting, the grimace, the Evan shaving his freaking beard.
Oh, Evan had nothing to do with it.
But that's the point, though, is that there's all these different symbols, and that builds that builds a special season, a special team. And when you look at teams like the Nationals, you look at teams like the Diamondbacks from last year that made the World Series, like, that's what it takes. Sometimes that's what it takes to get into the World Series. Just things just kind of have to happen at the right time.
I don't disagree with that. Look at the Diamondbacks a year ago. No, I mean, listen, baseball and timing, they're always intertwined. I mean, there's no doubt. I wanted to pull up the Mets schedule for a second. I know, I don't mean now. I know what they have on this 10-game trip, 7 games remaining. Today, St. Louis. I know they play the Phillies at the end. Because here's what, not to paint the negative, because it could be a positive, but not only do I think that you guys will just narrowly miss out. And this sucks. I hate to even say this. I hope I'm wrong with this. The end of the season has a real chance to be particularly painful. Look who you're playing. You're going to go into those last 4-7, those last 10 games. You got Philly. All right. Hey, and by the way, I think you guys are still hanging around. 10 games to go. I'm not saying the Mets lose, 9 out of 10 and that's it. No. Mets are not going to sink. I just don't think they'll get the wild card. But I think they're above 500 when it's all said and done. Barely. All right. We got a chance. We're playing Philly. Then you know who you play? You play Atlanta. Then you know who you play? Milwaukee. Who's good? So, I mean, those last 10 games are going to be potentially tormenting to Met fans.
It's not going to be the Braves this year, I'll tell you that much. They got nothing right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, they're weird this year, aren't they?
Well, they're all hurt.
No, I know they are. I know.
Ozuna's still good, even though he's a jerk.
I'm saying it could have worked out a little bit. You couldn't have the Marlins and the Nationals the final 6 games. That's what I'm saying.
I mean, that usually backfires, too.
Well, that's true. Well, up 7 with 17 to go.
Honestly, BT, I prefer a team that's going for the playoffs because, the Mets normally play tighter in those games, may play better in those games rather than playing the bad team.
Yeah, let me get Frankie in Queens. Frankie, BT and Sal on the fan. What's up, Frank?
What's going on, BT? Big fan.
Thanks.
Love when you're on.
Thanks, buddy.
Bring it. I want to touch on the Pete Alonso thing. I completely agree. I'm a longtime Mets fan. I'm only 29, so I'm rather young.
Okay.
But I'm tired of watching him, man. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of his attitude. I'm tired of everything that he brings outside of at the plate. I think a little corny, jolly attitude. And I know I'm probably in the minority. I look on social media, Mets fans seem to be a fan of him. But the other night when he hit the home run and it was Jesse Winker's first night and they did like the little when you have like your high school kiss and you do like the little like ankle flip, when you're like taking like sparks and you do like a little fairy thing. I don't know. I'm not a fan of it. I would like our bruising hitter, our cleanup guy,
yeah,
to be a little bit more imposing. I don't like the fact that anytime that Met social media posts anything, not involved at all. Whether it be, like the fun little trivia things that they do walking into the clubhouse.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, he's never involved. Promo with the new uniforms, barely involved.
Huh.
You know what I mean? And not that that's like a real deal breaker, but it just kind of adds on to the, 198 with runners in scoring position and all this. Like, so.
Hey, dropping out a little bit there. Listen, I don't want to start begging on Pete's personality, but I do think he's socially awkward. I've said that. I do the interviews, I just think that he's a little, I'm not even going to, you use the word corny and jolly and some other things. I just think he's just a little socially awkward. And, the other stuff doesn't matter because I think his personality has always been his personality. It doesn't matter until it matters. And when you're on pace for 86 RBIs in a contract year, and he just hit 230 in July, and you're hitting 200 in August, and here you go. It matters more now. I'm not even saying that it's right. It's just the way it goes.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Testaverde will take the snap, go to one knee. This game is over. The Jets lock up their first playoff appearance since 1991 on a 21-16 victory over the Miami Dolphins.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app. Call of the Day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
All right, today's Call of the Day brought to you by Ramsey Mazda. Choose wisely. Choose Ramsey Mazda. Let me get Chris in Belleville. Chris, what's happening, buddy?
I feel like you go sometimes a little too extreme from one end to the other.
That's fine.
About a week and a half ago, this team was broken. They need to make several big time trades.
Was Jazz Chisholm on the team last year? Was Mark Leiter on the team, last week, 10 days ago? The answer is no.
Finally, the audio or anybody was screaming for Mark Leiter Jr. before the trade deadline.
It doesn't matter. He's got a 40% strikeout rate. If you know baseball, you know that Mark Leiter is what they needed. If people don't know Mark Leiter's repertoire and the stats that accompany his coming here, that's not my problem.
I just never got as low as you did. And I'm not ready to go as high as you're going. So I think this team has improved. I think they're built now to make a playoff run.
Yeah.
But I have to see a more of a sample size.
Fair enough.
From Chisholm to tell me that was one big move and that's the move that they need to go forward. Because I agreed with you that they need to make several big time trades. And I understand, you know, they weren't able to do that based on all the other teams that are fighting for guys, but I'm just not ready to go as high as you are right now.
Well, hold on. Now, Chris, I get that, man. Now, how high am I going? I'm saying that they could win the World Series. I'm not saying they're going to.
How do you get any higher than that?
Well, I think the next level is they're going to win the World Series, which I'm not saying. I'll say that tomorrow. All right, 888-808-101. And then next week I'll say they're not going to make the playoffs. Now, that I've never said. Hey, listen, there's been some fluctuations in the evaluation of the Yankees. I'm not going to lie today. I can't front. Yeah, it's out there. But I have never once wavered from the fact that this team is 100% locked to go to the playoffs, no matter how bad they looked and no matter how many times we heard about the White Sox. All the references. 888-808-1019. Hoff, did you see the stat? Let me make sure I have this right. When Judge was intentionally walked in the second inning? Yeah, I believe it was the second inning. The last time that happened, like that. Do you know the year? You don't know, so let's keep it moving.
Are we talking about Bonds level type of thing?
1972, and I believe there was a pitcher on deck. That's crazy. That is nuts, man. Let's get Scott in Jamesburg, New Jersey. What's going on, Scotty? BT and Sal.
What's happening, BT? Hey. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. How you doing today?
I'm doing great, and I want to talk about Alonso and agree with you on the not being clutch. But I also want to mention, BT, 11 weeks from today, you know where you'll be.
I'll be in London, right? Does that sound right?
I was saying Carnesecca Arena because college basketball will be back. That's 11 weeks, BT.
I told you I don't know the days, let alone 11 weeks from now. Yeah, that's right.
I've Seton Hall fans looking forward to that visit with Kadari and your Redmen.
Seton Hall fans better look forward to it now because St. John's going to mop the floor with Seton Hall this year.
You've been saying that for a long time.
And they
time,
did. The Big East tournament.
One game, the Big East tournament. Every other game of the year.
Yeah, hey, by the way, I've always had a lot of respect for Seton Hall. I'm just messing with you.
Yeah, I know you do. We love hearing it. But let's talk Mets. And I just got to say, Alonso is not clutch. Anyone who thinks he is, Met fan since 86. But you know what, BT? When 2 years ago, every time it mattered, I felt like he had no chance. That Braves series, the San Diego wild card series, not clutch. His hits come in, you know, 7-1 with the dinger. I really, when you think about the money he wanted, I don't even know what the true value is. And, like, as a longtime Met fan, I understand that these power hitters don't come through your system so often.
Yeah.
But, you know, I understand. He is who he is. He's a jolly guy, however he was described before. But the clutchness, I'll take even Vientos over him because I don't know what he's going to do. Because, BT, look at those series, and I know all the stats you pull out.
Yeah.
But I said this to Beningo last summer and to Evan. And when Evan goes crazy, you know, but listen, I like having a homegrown home run hitter, but for the money he wants, there is not a clutch. Bring up the clutch hits he has.
Scott, let's not. There's definitely some. I hear you. You know, but I don't view him as particularly clutch. I view Bryce Harper as clutch, you know. That's just, you know, he's not that guy. I mean, he's valueless, but his contract is going to be very hard, whether it's the Mets or somebody else to really assign you know, a level of value that is truly commensurate with what he brings to the table every night and his age and some of the other things we've talked about. We got Charlie in Brooklyn, BT and Sal and all the fam. What's up, Charles?
Hey there. So I'm pretty much your age. I'm 47.
Okay.
I've been watching the Mets my entire life, basically since I was like six. And when you first got on the radio, I loved you guys, but now you're starting to infuriate me with your Mets takes. Okay. You seem to have some of the stuff is honest. Pete Alonso, yes. Pete Alonso is not worth what he says he's worth. He's not going to get that big contract. He's definitely bad for you to slow down. He's not showing up in the clutch. Absolutely.
Right, so you're basically saying I'm right so far. Keep going. What else?
You're absolutely right about Pete Alonso.
Okay,
you're
so
not right about the Mets.
What's the problem?
The problem is that every time a subject of the Mets comes up, you are biased.
It's not true.
You, at the beginning of the season, the Mets were terrible. They were. Mm-hmm. You said they're done. They're done. They're going to win 75 games at most.
Yeah.
This team is terrible. Yeah. Then they go on their hot streak.
Hold on, Charlie. By the way, I was wrong, and I amended that, and I gave him credit.
Yeah, okay, no, I'll get to my point, so you'll see where I'm going at.
Okay,
then the Mets went on a hot streak, and you said, okay, maybe they make the playoffs, maybe they're a playoff team, maybe not. You weren't sure. And suddenly they lose 2 out of 3 to the Angels, and now we're back where the Mets are not going to make the playoffs.
Wrong. I've said for a couple of weeks, and Hoff can validate that. I don't think they're going. I've said it for a couple of weeks, but keep going.
Yeah, but if you're making it about this 2 out of 3 of the Angels.
But I'm not when I said it 2 weeks ago. But anyway, keep going. Where are we going with this?
We're going with that. When the Yankees went on their terrible month-long swoon, not 3-game swoon, you were down on them, too. Now suddenly they're going to win 100 games.
Yeah.
Back to 100 games. And the Mets lose 2 out of 3. They're done.
Okay,
I find that biased.
I appreciate the fact that you stand up for the Mets, and I think that's all well and good. I don't think that anything that I've said about the Mets has been some gross misrepresentation of who they are. You know, I thought they'd be a high 70s win team. I amended that a little bit after they bounced back from a bad start. I don't think they'll be a playoff team, but I don't think they'll implode. I think they'll be like, 81, 82 wins, maybe 83. I think the Padres are better. I think the Phillies are better. I think the Braves are better. I think the Dodgers are better. I think the Brewers are better. I think they're a competitive team that's been a good story most of this year. That's all.
I understand that, but it's consistently, whenever the Mets are doing poorly, you're down, down, down with them. And when they're doing well, it's like, oh, look at the two Metsies. They're showing up a little bit. It's never take them seriously as a legitimate team.
Charles, now that's a bigger conversation. And thanks for the call, man. I do respect that. I do. It's not that I don't take the Mets seriously, but that's definitely not the case. Because with Stearns and Cohen's checkbook, not that he'll get Soto, but I do take his presence seriously. But there's levels of taking people seriously. And until the Mets actually, do something, why would I take them fully seriously? That's all I'm saying. I don't think that that's unfair. I don't think that that's unreasonable. I think that's fairly pragmatic, actually. Let me get Joe and Clark. Joe, what's going on, Joe?
BT, what's up, buddy?
Hey, Bal.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%, bro. You're totally fair with the Mets. Give me a break with these Mets fans. They're such give me a sec, man. I mean, look, I've been a fan 36 years. I've seen this movie a million times. They take 5 steps forward, they take 2 steps back. They've hosed me every year for 36 years. So I got to see it, man. Until they do it, I'm not going to be a believer. And I agree with you. They have a brutal, when this road trip is over, they come home. At the end of the month, they get another brutal road trip. They got to go to San Diego, to L.A., I mean, and Arizona.
Yep.
I mean, I'm sorry, but they're not as good as Arizona and San Diego.
I agree.
And as far as Pete, I agree with you wholeheartedly. He is so awkward. Everything seems scripted when he gets up there. It's never natural. It's always something like he wrote it down and he's reading it. He's just not a natural guy. He's not a natural leader. This team, bro, you know what this team needs? And an ex-Met I ran into told me this. They need superstars. They don't have any.
Yep.
They need real superstars in this team. They do not. They have good players, very good players, but they don't have superstars. And you need those. Even look at Arizona, that guy Marte. Man, you see how clutch that guy
God.
Is?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. He hit so many big home runs.
Mm.
We never, when it gets tough, Alonso presses. I don't want a guy like him on my team. This walk year should be his best year. It's his worst year.
Yeah.
What does that say? I mean, Judge hit 62 home runs in his walk year. I mean, you know, come on, man. I mean, so, I mean, like, they got to bring in, they got to go harder to Soto. And I'm telling you right now, if they lose out to Soto because of money, man, I'm telling you.
I don't think, Joe, it's not going to be money, Joe. I mean, Steve Cohen is coming with money. There's no doubt. My pushback, whatever me and Sal get into this, is that I call it the Mets tax. The tax that the Mets are going to be forced to overpay Soto to entice him to leave the Yankees is going to have to be exorbitantly, you know, wider than what the Yankees are going to offer. Now, again, loose parameters, who the heck knows, but I'm not going to get into years. Let's say totality of Soto's next deal. Let me just say $550. I was going to put down $550. So, if the Mets offer him $550 and the Yankees offer him $460, he's going to the Mets. And by the way, I don't think that the Yankees would, like, the disparity would not, and if it is, oh, then I'm going to lose my mind on the Yankees. Like, there's no way it's going to be $90 or $100 million more in favor of the Mets, like a heavier offer. Let's say it's still $550 and the Mets offer $550. And the Yankees come at, you know, $520. Do I think he leaves for the Mets for $30 million? Nope, I don't. I don't, and that's the difference. Now, but again, I don't really know. I don't doubt he wants every penny. I don't doubt that for a second. But man, if the money is basically comparable, basically right, and the ability to monetize yourself as a Yankee is just better than that as a Met. Even if it's like $30 million more in favor of the Mets, 30, you know, taxes, you know, suddenly 30 becomes 15, whatever agent fee, suddenly 15 is like 12 and a half. So it's not as, I mean, it's real money for us, but it's not what you think it might be if it's that small of a difference. And so the monetization of his brand with the Yankees just dwarfs with the Mets. And who's leaving with Aaron Judge behind you? I don't know why you would do that. Unless he just had it in his heart, he always wants to be a Met. Then that's something that, you know, I don't know that to be true. And if that's the case, then it doesn't matter what the Yankees do, he's going to be a Met. I don't think that's the case. So I think there's two things that will happen with the Soto situation. Number one, Steve Cohen's coming correct. I have always said that. And number two, the Yankees are going to come correct enough to entice him to stay.
Annoy people on the quiet car and call the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, still plenty of time to squeeze in these calls. 15 South, 145 here. 888-808-1019. Evan and T coming up next. I believe they are both in. I think. No, they're not. Okay. Who's in? Dove, do you know? Just open up your mic, Dove. Who's in?
It's Tiki, I think.
Oh, just Tiki?
Is it Sean, too?
All right.
Yeah, I think it's Tiki and Sean.
Tiki and Sean. There you go. Thank you, boys. Appreciate that. Let's get back to you guys here. Eddie's on Long Island. What's going on, Ed?
Hey, BT, I called you about 6 or 7 weeks ago and told you that Francisco Lindor was one of the most productive shortstops in the game, and you and Sal ripped me apart.
Okay.
And I just want to see what your feeling is now. Look at his numbers. He has 100 runs scored every year, 100 RBIs every year.
Here we go.
He steals 25 bases. He plays great D. What are you not seeing, BT? I don't get it.
He's good. He's a good ball player. Very good. He's good. That's it.
I think he's one of the most productive shortstops in the game. I don't see anybody else doing that.
Did you see what Witt just did for the month? He basically had 500. Have you watched Gunnar Henderson play? Seager?
Are you saying Lindor's not in the top five?
I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that. I'm saying Francisco Lindor had, again, a wretched start. And then he looked like an absolute superstar. And here we are in the middle. Listen, this is just the facts. Not even me adding any sort of, like, no editorial element here. Like, forget about what I've said about Lindor. All I'm telling you is he is 30. He is paid a lot of money. and he has an OPS below 800. Those are just the facts.
Well, when you look at production, though, BT, you got to count runs scored, RBI,
I know.
Stolen bases.
I know.
Everything else.
He,
I mean,
he's good.
That's
he's really
200
good.
Runs.
He is a good ball player. You want to erect the statue? I mean, he hasn't done anything yet here.
Well, we'll find out in the next 2 or 3 years. I think you're going to see.
I hope so. I mean, that's what you got him here, right, Eddie? Appreciate the call there, but no, come on. Don't try to rope me into this Lindor stuff again. Let me just see something here. Hold on. Just do a little bit of a dive this year. Hold on. All right. So, yeah, I mean, let me go to OPS. I'm not messing around here. Oh, what's wrong with this computer now? All right. So, Bobby Witt has a 9, and listen, he's one of the best players in baseball, so it's almost unfair to Lindor because he's never going to be Bobby Witt. Never was Bobby Witt, never will be Bobby Witt. But Bobby Witt has an OPS of 980 and a WAR of over 7. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's staggeringly good. It's like Judge. And Gunnar Henderson, who's a lot younger and a lot cheaper, has an OPS of 946. Corey Seager, who's a World Series champion, also has 20-plus home runs. He's got an OPS of 850. Then you have Ellie De La Cruz, who's very young, very young, and has basically 60 steals and has a higher OPS. And then you have Lindor. So, no, I mean, he's good. He's very good. He's a good ball player. You know, but actually, and let me just move on. I'm so tired of this Lindor stuff. He's a good ball player. He's not great. He's not a superstar. He looks like it on occasion. I don't know what to tell you. If you disagree, you disagree. I respect that. It's fine. I don't care anymore. I mean, you haven't been in 4 months. It's year 4. I mean, we got stuff it's got an expiration point with this stuff. Unless there's anything that Hoff would like to inject.
Oh, you don't want me to inject.
Go for it.
No, I'm confused. You're sitting there going, oh, he's got to be 800 OPS or higher.
That's nice.
He's sitting at 794. It's like, he's sitting at 794.
Yeah, no, we'll get to 850 and give me a call.
Like we're talking about a guy here who legitimately, like in the last call I said it, like he adds elements to the game. He steals bases.
I know
does
he
all
does.
Stuff.
I know.
And you don't have to. And listen, you're talking about Bobby Witt Jr. Yeah, he's having a great year. Sometimes that happens. Matt Olson last year had a great year, and he's completely tanked.
Bobby Witt's going to be the best player in baseball in 2 years.
I don't. But okay, and that's fine. That's what you think, and it's all good.
Oh, but please.
I don't. We'll see it happen consistently
because
previous years he's had matched very similar to what Francisco Lindor did in the beginning of his career.
He's just starting out, huh?
But that's what I'm talking about. Like you look at Bobby Witt's for the past 2 years compared to Lindor's when he first started out, the numbers were similar.
He stole 50 bases last year, Bobby Witt. 30
okay.
home runs. Last year.
Okay, and again, I'm just saying, when Lindor was in his 23, 24, 25 ages, he hit 30 home runs every year, too.
No, listen, Lindor's good.
I'm just comparing at their ages where they were. So it's like, that's where I say, like, Bobby Witt's great right now, but this could also just be 1 year.
Well, it could be, but it's not. I mean, Bobby Witt is going to be a Hall of Famer and one of the best shortstops of all time. And Francisco Lindor is a really good player.
He's played 3 years.
All right, I'm comfortable with that projection, by the way.
Oh, that's fine. Aaron Judge, I will give you. Aaron Judge is the best player in baseball.
Yes.
Aaron Judge legitimately is at the Barry Bonds level where he sees the pitch, he hits it out of the ballpark.
Like, no
question. You can't fool him. He's not going to get as big of numbers in the future because people are going to walk him all the time.
Look at him now jumping in. Look, that was a good move. Now you jump into the Judge, get a little more airtime. You go from Lindor to Witt.
I'm just keeping it real.
Let me get Mike in. You are sleeping on Witt a little bit. Come on, dude. Mike's in New Jersey. What's up, Mikey?
Hey, man. Great show. I'm really enjoying it.
Thanks, Mike.
As far as Pete, couple things. Pete Alonso, you know, his expectations are so high, and, you know, the Mets fans are sitting on the edge of the seat waiting for Pete to be Pete. And I guess the good news is maybe he will be, and then I think we're going to need him if we're going to make any kind of run at any kind of playoff spot.
Yeah, I mean, listen, there's no doubt, Mike. I think you guys will narrowly miss out, but I'm not ruling out the possibility of Pete. And I'd like to see it. Pete go on a 3-week binge where, you know, maybe not quite mirrors what Judge is doing, because Judge is just bonkers now, but he kind of does something like that.
No, he's not Judge.
No, we know he's not. Yeah. He's not even close to being Aaron Judge. But it's, you know, he does have the home run prowess to replicate that for a week or two to an extent.
Right.
You know, and do it. And if you do it, you might be a playoff team. If he doesn't do that,
then we have a chance.
You're not going.
If he gets going, we definitely, I would say we probably will make it if he gets going.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, and then the other thing, you know, the caller about saying, you know, you kind of flip-flop with Mets and Yankees when they're playing good, when they're not playing good. I don't think there's bias. I think the thing is that the expectations for the Yankees are so much higher. You know what I mean?
I do.
So you get on them a little more. You know, that's the thing.
Yep.
Right? Do you agree?
I think that feeds into it, Mike. I definitely do. I appreciate that. Yeah, I appreciate the call. I mean, yeah, I think that's part of it. I think expectations is the basis of, and really the basis for everything.
I mean,
everything's derived from what you anticipate will happen. You know, the energy that you emit, the reaction that you have, the passion in which you speak, the criticism that you levy. It's all intertwined. You know, I don't know if you're going to be begging on, like, put it this way. Now, historically, there's no comparison with the franchises, but if the Jets have a sideways season, I mean sideways, versus the Giants having a sideways season, what's going to be louder? It's the Jets, because the Jets are perceived to be, at least on paper, going in better and more of a threat to do something this year, and I believe that would reflect itself on the station. How about, let me get Steve up in Stamford, Connecticut. Steve-O, take it away, Steve.
How you doing, BT?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm great. Enjoying the show, as always. Your caller a couple of calls ago got me excited for the Big East. And I got to tell you, while Seton Hall St. John's is exciting, I think the team you should be worried about is my alma mater, season ticket holder for, is the University of Connecticut three-peat Huskies.
Yeah, always. I got news for you. I always worried about UConn. Always. Yeah.
And that's a good worry, because Danny Hurley staying and not going to L.A. was the best thing I've seen any of my teams do in a long time. We're going to be a top three team going into the season.
Oh my God, UConn is loaded. And by the way, Steve, real quick, I know you got a baseball point. I remember, and a lot of St. John's were actually disagreeing with me. I'm like, I don't want Hurley to leave. Now, I mean, granted, you'd like to be able to, you know, beat UConn a bunch at some point, but Hurley staying in the Big East, it makes life better for everybody, including St. John's. No question.
And you did. And you know what, BT, you did get, as a big basketball fan, the one guy who's beaten UConn during the regular season 2 years in a row. There's one player, and his name is Kadari Richmond.
Yeah,
he has single-handedly beaten UConn 2 years in a row.
Yeah.
So I wasn't thrilled he was going to St. John's, but
yes, they're going to be good.
So on the Yankee point, okay. What bothers me the most right now is the fact, first of all, I'm done with Glaber. I would much rather see DJ at second every day, because I'm not going to worry every time he's not going to run out of ball, or especially defensively. Every single time a ball gets hit to Glaber, I swallow hard. So I am so done with Glaber. It's not just the other day and the not running. It's his whole career. He's never ever come near what he should be. He doesn't hustle. He doesn't play hard. He's like the anti-Nick. He's like terrible.
Yeah, well said. Yeah.
And I really think he needs to leave. And I don't care if DJ hits 200. I'm so happy. He's such a professional that he's come up big lately. But the biggest thing that bothers me is, how don't you get Tanner Scott? If you're Cashman, yeah, it's great we got Chisholm. I love Chisholm, and I really like Mark Leiter. But the thing is, go all in. We have an all-in team this year. Mm-hmm. How aren't we coming back? We already did a trade with Jazz Chisholm with the Marlins. Tanner Scott was the best closer out there. And who got him? The Padres, who also have Wandy Peralta, by the way, who we should have gotten from last year.
Yep,
tell me, if we had Wandy Peralta and Tanner Scott in our bullpen, we'd be lights out. So how doesn't Cashman come back with Tanner Scott and Jazz Chisholm? I don't care if we had to give him another one elite prospect to get that done. That's a World Series trait if we get Scott.
Well, I don't think that you're completely wrong, Steve. Although I do have to sneeze. So this is a tough juggle of being able to complete the sentence, finish up the show, and not knowing when I actually have to sneeze. That's tricky. See, when Sal's here, I could just look at him and say, you know, I got to tap out for 10 seconds and figure this out. I got to sneeze, though, but I don't know when it's going to come out. Yeah, I mean, Yanks didn't go all in. They went in enough to at least, you know, calm me down. They didn't go all in. There were more moves to make. But you got Dominguez coming. You got Volpe flashing. Again, you got Chisholm. Yanks could win the World Series. They could win the World Series. And I haven't felt like that in a long time. All right, guys. Have an awesome day. So it's Tiki and Sean coming up next. Enjoy it. I'm back tomorrow. Have a great Monday. Bye-bye. Going to come correct enough to entice him to stay.
Annoy people on the quiet car and call the fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
To squeeze in these calls, 50 and Sal's 145 here. 888-808-1019. Evan and T coming up next. I believe they are both in, I think. No, they're not. Okay. Who's in? Dove, do you know? Just open up your mic, Dove. Who's in?
It's Tiki, I think.
Oh, just Tiki?
Is it Sean, too?
Yeah, I think it's Tiki and Sean.
Tiki and Sean, there you go. Thank you, boys. Appreciate that. Let's get back to you guys here. Eddie's on Long Island. What's going on, Ed?
Hey, BT, I called you about 6 or 7 weeks ago and told you that Francisco Lindor was one of the most productive shortstops in the game, and you and Sal ripped me apart.
Okay.
And I just want to see what your feeling is now. Look at his numbers. He has 100 runs scored every year, 100 RBIs every year.
Here we go.
He steals 25 bases. He plays great D. What are you not seeing, BT? I don't get it.
He's good. He's a good ball player. Very good. He's good. That's it.
I think he's one of the most productive shortstops in the game. I don't see anybody else doing that.
Did you see what Witt just did for the month? He basically had 500. Have you watched Gunnar Henderson play? Seager?
Are you saying Lindor's not in the top five?
Honestly, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that. I'm saying Francisco Lindor had, again, a wretched start. And then he looked like an absolute superstar. And here we are this is just the facts. Not even me adding any sort of, like, no editorial element here. Like, forget about what I've said about Lindor. All I'm telling you is he is 30, he is paid a lot of money, and he has an OPS below 800. Those are just the facts.
Well, when you look at production, though, BT, you got to count runs scored, RBI,
I know.
Stolen bases.
I know.
Everything else.
He's good. He's really good.
200 runs.
He is a good ball player. You want to erect the statue? I mean, he hasn't done anything yet here.
Well, we'll find out in the next 2 or 3 years. I think you're going to see.
I hope so. I mean, that's what you got him here, right, Eddie? Appreciate the call there, but no, come on. Don't try to rope me into this Lindor stuff again. Let me just see something here. Hold on. Just do a little bit of a dive-ish here. Hold on. All right. So, yeah, I mean, let me go to OPS. I'm not messing around here. Oh, what's wrong with this computer now? All right. So, Bobby Witt has a 9, and listen, he's one of the best players in baseball, so it's almost unfair to Lindor because he's never going to be Bobby Witt. Never was Bobby Witt, never will be Bobby Witt. But Bobby Witt has an OPS of 980 and a WAR of over 7. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's staggeringly good. It's like Judge. And Gunnar Henderson, who's a lot younger and a lot cheaper, has an OPS of 946. Corey Seager, who's a World Series champion, also has 20-plus home runs. He's got an OPS of 850. Then you have Ellie De La Cruz, who's very young, and has basically 60 steals and has a higher OPS. Then you have Lindor. So, no, I mean, he's good. He's very good. He's a good ball player. You know, but actually, and now let me just move on. I'm so tired of this Lindor stuff. He's a good ball player. He's not great. He's not a superstar. He looks like it on occasion. I don't know what to tell you. If you disagree, you disagree. I respect that. It's fine. I don't care anymore. I mean, it's not, you haven't been in 4 months. It's year four. I mean, we got to stop. It's got an expiration point with this stuff. Unless there's anything that Hoff would like to inject.
Oh, you don't want me to inject.
Go for it.
No, I'm confused. You're sitting there going, oh, he's got to be 800 OPS or higher.
That's nice.
He's sitting at 794. It's like, he's sitting at 794.
Yeah, I know. We'll get to 850 and give me a call.
Like we're talking about a guy here who legitimately, like in the last call I said it, like he adds elements to the game. He steals bases.
I know
does
he
all
does.
Stuff.
I know he does.
And, you're talking about Bobby Witt Jr. Yeah, he's having a great year. Sometimes that happens. Matt Olson last year had a great year, and he's completely tanked.
Bobby Witt's going to be the best player in baseball in 2 years.
Nah, I don't. Okay, and that's fine. That's what you think, and it's all good.
Oh, but please.
I don't. We'll see it happen consistently.
Because
previous years, he's had matched very similar to what Francisco Lindor did in the beginning of his career.
He's just starting out, huh?
That's what I'm talking about. Like, you look at Bobby Witt's for the past 2 years compared to Lindor's when he first started out, the numbers were similar.
He stole 50 bases last year, Bobby Witt. 30
okay.
home runs.
Last year. Okay, and again, just saying, when Lindor was in his 23, 24, 25 ages, he had 30 home runs every year, too.
No, listen, Lindor's good.
I'm just comparing at their ages where they were. So it's like, that's where I say, like, Bobby Witt's great right now, but this could also just be 1 year.
Well, it could be, but it's not. I mean, Bobby Witt is going to be a Hall of Famer and one of the best shortstops of all time. And Francisco Lindor is a really good player.
He's played 3 years.
All right, I'm comfortable with that projection, by the way.
Oh, that's fine. Aaron Judge, I will give you. Aaron Judge is the best player in baseball.
Yes.
Aaron Judge legitimately is at the Barry Bonds level where he sees a pitch, he hits it out of the ballpark.
Like, no
question. You can't fool him. He's not going to get as big of numbers in the future because people are going to walk him all the time.
Look at him now jumping in. Look, that was a good move. Now you jump into the Judge, get a little more airtime. You go from Lindor to Witt.
I'm just keeping it real.
Let me get Mike in. I mean, you are sleeping on Witt a little bit. Come on, dude. Mike's in New Jersey. What's up, Mikey?
Hey, man. Great show. I'm really enjoying it.
Thanks, Mike.
As far as Pete, couple things. Pete Alonso, you know, his expectations are so high, and, you know, the Mets fans are sitting on the edge of the seat waiting for Pete to be Pete. And I guess the good news is maybe he will be, and then I think we're going to need him if we're going to make any kind of run at any kind of playoff spot.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt, Mike. I think you guys will narrowly miss out, but I'm not ruling out the possibility of Pete. And I'd like to see it. Pete go on a 3-week binge where – yeah, maybe not quite mirrors what Judge is doing because Judge is just bonkers now, but he kind of does something like that.
No, he's not Judge.
No, we know he's not. Yeah. He's not even close to being Aaron Judge. But it's, you know, he does have the home run prowess to replicate that for a week or two to an extent.
Right.
You know, and do it. And if you do it, you might be a playoff team. If he doesn't do that,
then we have a chance.
You're not going.
If he gets going, we definitely, I would say we probably will make it if he gets going.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, and then the other thing, you know, the caller about saying, you know, you kind of flip-flop with Mets and Yankees when they're playing good, when they're not playing good. I don't think there's bias. I think the thing is that the expectations for the Yankees are so much higher. You know what I mean?
I do.
So you get on them a little more. That's the thing.
Yep.
Right? Do you agree?
I think that feeds into it, Mike. I definitely do. I appreciate that. I appreciate the call. I mean, yeah, I think that's part of it. I think expectations is the basis of, and really the basis for everything. I mean, everything's derived from what you anticipate will happen. You know, the energy that you emit, the reaction that you have, the passion in which you speak, the criticism that you levy. It's all intertwined, you know? I don't know if you're going to be bagging on, like, put it this way. Now, historically, there's no comparison with the franchises, but if the Jets have a sideways season, I mean sideways, versus the Giants having a sideways season, what's going to be louder? It's the Jets, because the Jets are perceived to be, at least on paper going in, better and more of a threat to do something this year, and I believe that would reflect itself on the station. How about, let me get Steve up in Stamford, Connecticut. Steve-O, take it away, Steve.
How you doing, BT?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm great. Enjoying the show as always. Your caller a couple of calls ago got me excited for the Big East. And I got to tell you, while Seton Hall St. John's is exciting, I think the team you should be worried about is my alma mater, season ticket holder for, is the University of Connecticut three-peat Huskies.
Yeah, always. I got news for you. I always worried about UConn. Always.
Yeah. And that's a good worry, because we're going to – Danny Hurley staying and not going to L.A. was the best thing I've seen any of my teams do in a long time. We're going to get it. We're going to be a top three team going into the season.
Oh, my God. UConn is loaded. And by the way, Steve, real quick, I know you got a baseball point. I remember, and a lot of St. John's were actually disagreeing with me. I'm like, I don't want Hurley to leave. Now, I mean, granted, you'd like to be able to, you know, beat UConn a bunch at some point, but Hurley staying in the Big East, it makes life better for everybody, including St. John's. No question.
And you did. And you know what, BT, you did get, as a big basketball fan, the one guy who's beaten UConn during the regular season 2 years in a row. There's one player, and his name is Kadari Richmond.
Yeah,
single-handedly beat UConn 2 years in a row.
Yeah.
So I wasn't thrilled he was going to St. John's, but
yes, they're going
to
be good.
So on the Yankee point, okay. What bothers me the most right now is the fact, first of all, I'm done with Glaber. I would much rather see DJ at second every day, because I'm not going to worry every time he's not going to run out of ball, or especially defensively. Every single time a ball gets hit to Glaber, I swallow hard. So I am so done with Glaber. It's not just the other day and the not running. It's his whole career. He's never ever come near what he should be. He doesn't hustle. He doesn't play hard. He's like the anti-Nick. He's like terrible.
Yeah, well said. Yeah.
And I really think he needs to leave. And I don't care if DJ hits 200. I'm so happy. He's such a professional that he's come up big lately. But the biggest thing that bothers me is, how don't you get Tanner Scott? If you're Cashman, yeah, it's great we got Chisholm. I love Chisholm. I really like Mark Leiter. But the thing is, go all in. We have an all-in team this year. Mm-hmm. How aren't we coming back? We already did a trade with Jazz Chisholm with the Marlins. Tanner Scott was the best closer out there. And who got him? The Padres, who also have Wandy Peralta, by the way, who we should have gotten from last year.
Yep,
you tell me if we had Wandy Peralta and Tanner Scott in our bullpen, we'd be lights out. So how doesn't Cashman come back with Tanner Scott and Jazz Chisholm? I don't care if we had to give him another one elite prospect to get that done. That's a World Series trade if we get Scott.
Well, I don't think that you're completely wrong, Steve. Although I do have to sneeze. So this is a tough juggle of being able to complete the sentence, finish up the show, and not knowing when I actually have to sneeze. That's tricky. See, when Sal's here, I could just look at him and say, you know, I got to tap out for 10 seconds and figure this out. I got to sneeze, though, but I don't know when it's going to come out. Yeah, I mean, Yanks didn't go all in. They went in enough to at least, you know, calm me down. They didn't go all in. There were more moves to make. But you got Dominguez coming. You got Volpe flashing. Again, you got Chisholm. Yanks could win the World Series. They could win the World Series. And I haven't felt like that in a long time. All right, guys, have an awesome day. So it's Tiki and Sean coming up next. Enjoy it. I'm back tomorrow. Have a great Monday. Bye-bye.